Good evening, everybody. As a part of our parish being members of the Hoag Health Ministries, we're really privileged to have access to some of the most talented and accomplished speakers in Orange County. And Dr. Cordula Dick Mulkey is just one of those talented speakers. She is renowned for her work that she has done with Alzheimer's patients and their families. And we are just so glad to have her here this evening, taking time out of her busy schedule to spend the evening with us. She's so accomplished that I just wanted to give you a little snippet of her background. And I need to read this because it's just so overwhelming. First of all, she received her bachelor's degree in English from Portland State University, her master's degree in counseling psychology from the University of Portland, a master's degree in theology from Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, and a PhD in clinical psychology from the Graduate School of Psychology at Fuller Seminary. On top of that, Cordula is a licensed clinical psychologist who has dedicated the past 30 years to bettering the lives of people with Alzheimer's disease and their families. In March of 2014, she founded Cordula Cares, which provides a wide range of consulting services, helping organizations and professionals develop, implement, and research ways to enhance care for people with Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America recognized Cordula in 2011 the Dementia Care Professional of the Year. And she holds appointments with the Institute for Memory Impairments and Neurological Disorders and the Division of Geriatrics at the University of California, Irvine. If that isn't enough, what can I say? So please welcome Cordula.
All right, I just need to, I'm sorry, that came across a little louder than I thought. Distill that down to a few words. My few words are, I've been around the block, right? I've had an opportunity to do some wonderful things to help people with Alzheimer's disease and their families. And I do want to give a shout out to Hoag Hospital and to Hoag Health Ministries, because it really is because of Hoag Health Ministries that I'm able to go out and speak to congregations like yours. Now, I know that you received a lot of paper, but I'm going to focus you on what I'm going to talk about, which pieces of paper, okay? So the first piece of paper is the handout with all the slides, okay? All right, so that's number one. Then we're going to talk about the blue form, the five wishes. So keep that on top. We're also going to talk about, just want to make sure, I'm not sure which, where that is myself in this pile.
Which one?
I'm the CMA DNR form I emailed you.
That one, where is it? I think it's this. Where did it go?
It was a two-slided form.
This one.
Oh, instructions. Okay.
Anyone ask me the pencil?
Yeah, I think this is right. Okay. So it's this handout that has information on, right, the top page, which Pastor Annie created, says information on do not resuscitate requests in emergency medical services. Okay? So, okay. Everybody, keep search until you find that, so you don't have to search when we get to it. All right? How you doing? Is everybody finding that page? Okay, the top says, it looks just like this, information right here. It's got to be in this packet.
Oh, it's in this packet?
Yeah, it's in.
Information do not resuscitate, is that
Yeah,
the one?
That's the one.
Well, that's the one.
It's down in here somewhere. I think it's the next one. No, I'm not sure. Okay, let me see. It's this one right below the pink one then. No, it's not that one. Okay, let me see. That's why I wanted to do this first.
Okay.
Because here, they're all kind of sticking together. This one,
okay.
This one.
All right. So now you want
okay.
This?
I'm good. That and that one? Okay. How's everybody doing? Did we get the third? Okay. We're going to do this one more time. Okay? The slides. Okay. Number 1. Number 2, 5 wishes, okay? Number 3, DNR. Information on DNR. Okay? Everybody find that one? Okay, that one was in Annie's packet, and Pastor, and then the last one is the pink one. You also have a white one, but the last one is the big, bright pink one, okay? All right, so keep those separate from the others, because those are the ones that I'm going to talk about tonight. All right? Everybody ready to go? All right. I know our former president. It makes me think of that. So fired up and ready to go, all right? We're ready. Okay. Now, I've got a few things going in my hands. Sue, you know, I wanted to get all that kind of shuffling done so we could actually have a serious time together. And this is Lent, and we're preparing for the death of Christ. And what a better time than Lent to be also reflecting on the end of our own lives. Okay? How do we want to prepare for death, right? So, whoops, now, on, turn this on. Good. All right, so scattered through here are just a couple of Bible passages that I like. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And, you know, this Bible passage really isn't just about counting the days that we've already lived. And we really can't count the days until we die because we don't know how many those are. I think this Bible passage is a lot more about teach us to number our days, to live in the present, to appreciate every day God has given us. So these are the things we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the process of advanced care planning. It's the process of having the conversation, okay? What do we want the end of our lives to be like? How do we want our medical care to be handled? It's the process of exploring that, reflecting on it deeply, and documenting it. Okay? It doesn't have anything to do with any of these pieces of paper that we're shuffling around. It has to do with a conversation and with reflection. Okay? Then once you do that process, then it's time for the piece of paper, okay? How are you going to document what it is that you want? And that's what our Advanced Health Care Directive provides for us, the where to document. So it's legally binding, and the two that we're going to talk about today are the 5 wishes document and the DNR. And then we're going to talk about that pink form called the Physician's Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. So hopefully by the time that we're done with this presentation, it'll be very clear to you what the difference is between Five Wishes, the DNR, and the POLST form, all right? And what they're for. So the conversation ought to begin for everyone at age 18. Advanced care planning is about the future. What do we want if something happens to us in the future? And once you are an adult, something can happen to us anytime, right? So we want to start that conversation, complete the directive, and then we want to periodically revisit that. Do I still feel the same way? You know, I sure feel a lot different about life and the end of my life than I did when I was 25, right? Right? And so we're constantly rethinking and reevaluating our perspectives. So at that point, we're going to fill out the five wishes or the DNR, or you can certainly use the form that's provided by the Episcopal Church. But once you get diagnosed with a serious illness, meaning a serious illness where you anticipate that you're going to pass away within a year, you ought to have what's called a POLST form, which is a doctor's order about your current treatment. We're going to go through this again, so to make sure that your end-of-life wishes are honored, all right? So, you know, it's always too early until it's too late. This is really interesting because in all three of these surveys, what you see is a lot of people say, yeah, it's an important thing to do. We ought to think about our end of life. Not so many have done so, right? 90% think it's a good idea. Less than 30% have done so. In the second survey, 80% say, yeah, I would want to talk to my doctor about that. How many have done so? 7%. 80% think, you know, it's a good idea to write that down. Only 23% have done so. Anybody want to confess that they're in that group of people that says, hey, it's a good idea, but haven't done it yet? There might be a handful in here, and I wouldn't be surprised. That's part of why we're doing this. So therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the hour. I'm going to read the full passage that I think is very relevant. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now, many people interpret this, or the first thing they think about when they hear this passage is the second coming of Christ. But this is about when Christ comes to us at our door, at our death as well. Stay awake. Nobody knows the day or the hour, right? So Marcel Proust said something that's very relevant, and he, French philosopher and author, said, we say that the hour of death cannot be forecast. But when we say this, we imagine that hour as placed in an obscure and distant future. It's out there. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to die. It never occurs to us that it has any connection with the day already begun, or that death could arrive the same afternoon, this afternoon which is so certain and which has every hour filled in advance, right? This could be the day and the hour for me on my drive home, even though I already have all these plans for this evening after I go home to chat with my husband and watch TV and all the things you do at night and tomorrow. So we don't keep death in our awareness. Am I making you uncomfortable yet? No, we don't like it. We don't like keeping death in our awareness. That's kind of scary for a lot of people. All right? So here's the reality of dying today. 70% of Americans die in a hospital, nursing home, or long-term care facility. And where would they like to die? At home. It's actually, I've seen some statistics say that 80% die in a hospital, depending on the particular study. So most people die in hospital. And if you want to die at home, or most of us do, we got to take responsibility for figuring out how to make that happen, or make that as likely as possible, right? All right. So I'm sorry if I'm standing in front of you. Just kick me. Oh, okay. Okay, so what are the barriers? Why do we say we haven't talked about it? Oh, don't need to worry about it, right? That's right. What did Marcel Proust say? We think about death as out there. It's not time yet. I can procrastinate. I'm not sick yet. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I think a lot of people fall in that category. And, oh my, I don't want to talk about it because it's going to upset my wife or my adult child. We can come up with good excuses about why not to talk about it. It never seems like the right time. All right? It's always the right time. And by the way, we're all supposed to stay young, right? Aren't we all supposed to stay young forever? Yeah, we're all supposed to stay young, and then one day we just kind of fall off the cliff, right? And, you know, we have a whole market, anti-aging market, that's, I hate to say, scamming us, folks, because you can spend all this money on anti-aging products, but you get to die anyway, right? There is no get-out free card here. All right, so I eat right, I exercise, I don't drink or smoke, but I'm still going to die someday. That changes everything. So just a little humor in there. Well, I certainly promote healthy living, but not healthy living at the cost of denying that our lives come to an end, right? And engaging with that process of aging and that process of dying in a more proactive and positive way. All right, what we got to do is we got to stop waiting for someone else to stop. Start. Whoops, I can't. You know what? 20% of Americans say, well, I haven't brought it up because, in my case, it might be, I'm waiting for my husband to bring it up, you know? And, yeah, we can understand. We probably all, at one time or another, wherever you are with this topic, have felt a little anxious about it. It is an uncomfortable topic. 45% of Americans say, if a loved one asks them, they'd be happy to talk about it. In fact, they'd be relieved to talk about it. So we got to start the conversation. We got to be willing to talk about it. And another 41% said they'd be willing to have the discussion, although they'd find it difficult. Yeah, it's not necessarily an easy conversation. Excuse me a second. I'll put this over here where I can reach it. And hopefully won't spill it. So I want to talk a little bit about some tools to start the conversation. The first one comes in a box, or you can do this online. Now I'm going to put the mic down for a minute. Let me put the mic back in the holder for a second. you get the cards, and you can do this. You can do this by yourself. I think it's a good idea to do it with others. But what you do with these cards, whether you do this online or with the actual physical cards, is you have to sort these into very important, somewhat important, or not important. Is anybody game to raise their hands here? Okay, all right. To be mentally aware, how many of you would rate that as very important? Okay. You're gonna, whoops, all right. All right, let's try putting them up here against that. Not dying alone. How many would say that's very important? Not dying alone. Very important. Okay. So that's interesting, because less of you find that very important. You'd be feel okay dying alone. All right. To be at peace with God. Very important. Very important. Yeah, and I think this group would. To have my family with me. Very important. Very important. Okay. Let's see. Let's see some of these other ones here. To have an advocate who knows my values and priorities. Very important.
Yes.
Very important. To have my funeral planned. Very important. Yeah. Here's one. To have human touch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Touch.
Do you see how everybody... Do you see how everybody's different in this room? Of course, I have the luxury of standing in front of the room, but if you're watching your neighbors, some people are raising their hands for this, and some people are raising their hands for that. So it's very different, right, for each one of us. Each one of us is an individual. There's no cookie-cutter approach to this. To say goodbye to important people in my life. Very important.
Yes.
When I go through these cards, one of my problems is you're supposed to do this till you've identified your top 10 wishes. you know how many cards end up in my very important pile? All of them, right? This is a problem. This is why it is ultimately most important for purposes of tonight that you do this. Because when it comes down to the end of the day, what is most important to you, right? What is absolutely most important to you? What would you not want to give up out of all these things?
Your loved one.
Your loved one, meaning having your loved ones there. Not dying alone, right? So, but for some people in this room, that might not be the top one. Does anyone, just based on what we've been doing, can anyone else share what their top one would be? Yes, back there. Okay. Peaceful, painless death. What would be, see, and the thing comes down to it, you know, if you have to, you know, you might have, just to play with this, what if you had to have a little pain, but you could have your loved one there? Maybe I'd take a little pain if somehow that made it sure I could have my loved one there, right? Right, no, but my point is that there's going to be trade-offs. If you are medicated correctly, you should be able to be pain-free. Now, we also know our healthcare system falls short on that. Okay, going back to the other question now, who else in here wants to volunteer what their very top priority would be? Yes?
To be right with God.
To be right with God, okay. Any other volunteers? What were you saying back there? No, if you don't want to share, that's okay. No. Listen, you know, I'm always good for a laugh or whatever. But some of you, again, I have the luxury of seeing everybody's faces, and I can see in your eyes that some of you are struggling with this question, right? No, you know, there's no 100% guarantee. There is no 100% guarantee. But, you're more likely if you plan, okay? This is about life brings challenges to its all. We don't know the circumstances under which we're going to die. We may not be at home. We may not have our loved ones. But you're more likely to die at home, and you're more likely to have your loved ones, and you're more likely to be free of pain if you've planned ahead, if someone who knows you well is there to advocate for you, all right? So this is not about 100% guarantees. This is about being prepared, okay? And, you know, We can also have regrets about the past. And I know that I regret that I wasn't able to be at my mother's deathbed. And so, you know, death is a complicated, complicated issue in our lives. So I'm going to put these away for a second. And then I'm going to tell you about another way to start the conversation. And we'll just try that one out for size, because I hope that you will, I hope at another time that you will either here at church or in small groups or in your Bible study have these conversations, start to talk with each other, okay? So here's another one that I want to tell you about. This one's called Hello. You get all these fun blue chips. All right, these are called thank you chips. You get these booklets, and you can buy these online for big groups. And you get these booklets, and these booklets are all full of questions. When you sit down in your little Bible study group, for example, let's say you're doing this at Bible study group, each get one of these little booklets. And these are thank you chips. You can give each other thank you chips to appreciate what the other person has said. But you work through the questions together, and then you write down your personal answers, okay? This is the process. This is the advanced care planning process. This is the hardest part. And, you know, writing it down on the piece of paper when you finally figure it out is actually the easy part. It's the figuring it out. So I'm going to actually ask you a few questions, because before this game, before it was made into booklets, came in cards. And I'm going to ask you some of the questions on these cards. And see what you have to say. I picked some out that hopefully are not too threatening. You know, I didn't pick out the hardest ones. Let me see which one I want to ask you guys. Now I have to... Oh, now this one's a little... These cards have a whole range of topics. Some of them are relevant to the moment of your death. Some of them are relevant to preparing for death. So this is one. Let's see if anybody's willing to volunteer. This one is actually a little tough. If you had one day to say you were sorry to anyone you wanted before you died, who would be first? Who would be first? Your spouse. Interesting. Interesting. Anybody else want to volunteer? Your mother. Yeah, see, now for me, it would be my mother, too. It would be my mother simply because I still struggle that I wasn't nearby during the last three and most difficult years of her life. So that would be... Anybody else want to respond to this question?
Does that mean somebody dead or not? I thought they had to be alive for you to say goodbye. Anybody?
You know what? Sometimes we have to say you're sorry to someone who's died. I had a brother with Down syndrome, and, you know, I'm 63. He died when he was 32 and I was 28, and I look back on that, and I have told him at his gravesite that I'm sorry that I didn't understand his condition better. So sometimes you have to say sorry to someone who's already passed away. Yeah. But this is about coming to terms with the regrets that we may have in life, right? Okay. So this was kind of a tough one. Thank you for being such good sports. Oh, now this one's a little easier. Not quite as threatening. Not quite as maybe emotionally challenging. What is the last meal you would like to eat, and who would you like to have that with? I think maybe it's not so much about the food, but who is it that would you want to be there if you... What? Yeah, who your companions are. Come on, guys. This one's your spouse. Anybody else? What? Your mother and father again. Uh-huh. Children. Grandchildren.
No, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt! Right. All right. All right. Okay. What hymn do you want to make sure is played at your memorial service, celebration of life, whatever you could call it? Amazing Grace? What?
For all the saints.
For all the saints, yeah. It's a beautiful hymn. On angels' wings. So, can I ask you? I'll put you on the spot. Have you told anybody that?
I think I mentioned it.
Okay.
I have mentioned.
Who said Amazing Grace? Have you told somebody?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. For all the saints, have you told somebody? Everybody. I heard that you guys are all like a family in this church. Like everybody knows everybody else. And you all, so that's good. That's good. All right. Let's see if there's anything else. Oh, here's a good one. This is good. In order to provide you with the best care possible, can you name one non-medical fact that your doctor ought to know? One thing that doesn't have to do with a diagnosis or a medication, not one personal fact that your doctor ought to know. What is that?
Your
Beg your pardon?
Getting a really comfortable bed.
Getting a comfortable bed, okay. Uh-huh. But just one thing about you as a person, about who you are.
Fresh air.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, let me give you an example. I think when I think about this, what was that? I want to know. Everybody's got to laugh. Oh, that's great. A wood shop. I want a wood shop in my hospital room. Here, you know, everybody. One. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Charles.
While I might not be able to give Charles a wood shop in his hospital room, it might be really great if I were the nurse that I knew that Charles liked woodworking, right? And especially, not that I would ever wish this on anybody, but especially if I had some memory and thinking difficulties and was somewhat confused, it might be really important to know Charles was a woodworker, okay? So give me, anybody else can give me an example of something personal? Yes.
I remember when I was delivering my second child, I had a book that was due in the library.
Uh-huh.
And they kept interrupting. I said, just leave me alone. I need to finish this book. I have a feeling that I feel the same way. That's why they're reading something. I want to know.
Yeah. You know, of one thing I would want, and I know everybody in this room would want, is would join with me in this thing, is I would want my doctor to know that I'm a really spiritual person, right? That's a non-medical thing. That's really important to my care, right? So how many of you have actually expressed to your doctor how important your faith is? How many of you actually have talked about the end of life with your doctor? Anybody had a conversation with their doctor? Not sure. Not too many. I hear a mixture of yeses and nos. Okay.
I think most of us talk to our doctor about the continuation of life.
That's right. We do. You're making a very good, important point. Yeah, we're always in there talking about how we're going to continue life. Again, that comes back to, it's like in our minds, like we're not really, we're just avoiding death. You know, I mean, the doctor helps us. By the way, the doctor's good at avoiding death, too. Doctors have been trained to cure people. Doctors feel very uncomfortable when they can't cure somebody. So it's also hard for them to have the conversation with you. But it's an important conversation for you and your doctor to have. Okay, let me see if there's one more. I don't know what time it is. I'm not paying attention. Okay, we're good. All right. Oh, let's see. Oh, here's one. Again, this one is kind of interesting. Your will is a list of things you will give away after you die. Right? What gift would you be better off giving today rather than after your death? What gift would you want to give today rather than after your death? Anybody can answer that question?
Some of my books.
Some of your books, yeah. Yeah. What? Money? Money? Maybe some money that you actually directly like to give to someone.
Jewelry.
Jewelry, yeah. That you might like to gift to someone. Yeah. You know, we haven't gotten to talking about, and we will when we go through the forms, we haven't really spent that much time talking about medical treatment specifically yet. But we're talking about all the things that are important to think about that help you to feel at peace at the end of your life. Because this is all about helping you have a peaceful death. And yes, a peaceful death is hopefully free of pain. But we're also talking about a spiritually and emotionally peaceful death, right? So that's part of what our goals are. Uh-huh. Planning ahead is a gift you can give your family. You're right. All right. That's enough of that for now. So let's see what else I've got. So I want to talk to you now next about the five wishes form. This form actually was initiated by someone named Jim Towney, who worked with Mother Teresa. And he experienced in working with Mother Teresa with dying AIDS patients, a different way of dying. And he thought, how can we have a better way of dying where people are treated with respect and dignity and compassion? How can we create that for more people? So along with the American Bar Association and healthcare experts, he put together this form, which is really a combination of a living will and advanced healthcare directive. And we'll just walk by it. We'll just walk over it. We'll walk through it at kind of a high level. I'll point out some main points about it. First of all, there's some really great things about this. This document is valid in 42 states. Okay, that's not all advanced healthcare directives are recognized across states. This advanced healthcare directive is also available in 27 languages. All right.
Is it recognized in California?
It is recognized in California as a legally binding document. Okay. All right. So this is one option. I know you have the form from the Episcopal Church. That's another option. But this is one option for use as an advanced health care directive. Okay? So let's walk through the form. Okay? If you open it up, first page gives you some background. Tells you all the states that it is actually valid in, legally recognized. All right, then on page 4, wish one. Who's going to be your decision maker? This should be someone that's close to you, that knows you well, that knows what your answers to all the cards are, okay? That can be an advocate for you if you're not able to speak on your own behalf. All right? So you designate who that person is. It's also good to provide an alternative on here. All right. Now, there's some qualifications here. This person does need to be 18 or older. It can't be your doctor. It can't be an employee of your doctor or healthcare provider, okay? That would be a conflict of interest. All right? And any person who is a decision maker, what we call an agent, can't be doing this for 10 or more people, okay? All right? So identify someone who knows you well and can also make difficult decisions. All right, because you really need to look at both of those. You may have someone who knows you well, but may be very challenged. You know each other, but just may have a harder time making that decision that you want for you. Okay, that's that conversation. All right. Next page, page 5, tells you what that person can do for you. All right, they can make choices about your medical care. They can interpret your instructions. They can consent to admission to a care facility, to a hospital, okay? Those kinds of things. They can make the decision to request, take away, or not give medical treatments. They can see and release your medical records. They can move you to another state if they felt like that was necessary to get the good care that you wanted. They could authorize or refuse any medication or procedure the doctor recommended. They can take legal action on your behalf. They can donate your organs. They can set up an autopsy. They can apply for insurance benefits, Medicare, Medi-Cal, so forth. Now, if you don't want your healthcare agent to do one of these things, you can just cross it out on the form and mark that you don't want that to be included, okay? You can also add any qualifications or any other actions you want that person to take in the lines. All right, wish number two, living will. All right. This is the conversation about life support. What is life support to you? Now, there is a description of life support here.
What page are you on?
I am on page 6, wish number 2. There's a description of life support, okay? Life support treatments, really important, includes medical devices put in me to help me breathe, intubation, okay? It includes food and water supplied by medical device, tube feeding. It includes CPR, major surgery, blood transfusions, dialysis, antibiotics, and anything else meant to keep me alive, all right? You get to write in these lines if you do or do not want any of that stuff, okay? And then what this form goes through is it goes through certain situations. Like, if I'm close to death, you get to check, I want life support treatment, or I do not want life support treatment. Or I want a trial of life support treatment. I want my doctor to try it if he thinks it would help, but if it's not helping, then to stop it. Okay? There's four situations here. If I'm close to death, if I'm in a coma and not expected to wake up, if I have permanent and severe brain damage, or there's another condition, okay? All right, wish number 3. How comfortable do you want to be? All right? So this is really all the stuff that's going to make you feel, I think, free from anxiety, at peace, comfortable, you know, here, and including pain. I do not want to be in pain. In other words, you can drug me up as much as you need to, even if I'm not alert, as long as I'm not in pain, right? Now, some people might trade off a little pain so that they could stay alert because they want to talk to their families, right? Which one's more important to you? No pain at all? Whatever it takes? Or I'll take some pain because I want to still be able to engage. All right. I'm not going to read all of these, but, you know, there's also things like, you know, I want to have a cool, moist cloth put on my head if I have a fever. I want to have my favorite music played. I'd write down what your favorite music is in this form so people know that, okay? I'd like to have religious readings, all right? So again, you can add things, you can cross things out that don't apply to you. All right, wish 4. How can your family and friends support you? I'll just read the first one. I'm not going to read all of them again. I want to have people with me when possible. I want someone to be with me when it seems that death may come at any time. All right? That's how you It's no guarantee, but that's how you make it the most possible for you not to die alone, if you don't want to die alone. I wish to have my hand held and talked to, you know? I want to have my hand held and have Psalm 23 read to me, right? You can be that detailed about this. What's your favorite passage in the Bible? All right, I want pictures of my loved ones near my bed. All right, and then wish number 5 facilitates closure. These are your wishes for your loved ones. So for example, if you've had a family where there's been a lot of conflict, maybe one of your wishes is, I wish for all my family members to make peace. You can express that. I wish for my family and friends to know that I do not fear death. I wish for my family and friends to get counseling, right? So, and I should go back. I'm going to go back. I hate to do this on you. I'm going backwards to wish 4 because there's something important I didn't mention. Wish 4 also makes specific reference to hospice. I want hospice care, okay? So now wish 5. This is about your family. You can indicate, after my death, I would like my body to be buried or cremated, okay? If anyone asks how I want to be remembered, please say the following about me. How many of you have thought about all this stuff? Good for you if you have. Right? This is a lot to think about, to talk about, to reflect on. All right, and then you sign the form, and you have to have 2 witnesses. And you have to be really good about following the witness rule, okay? So it tells you exactly who can be your witness, all right? So for example, this says, I declare that I'm over 18 and I am not. So for example, again, can't be your health care provider, couldn't be your employer, couldn't be financially responsible for you. I'll let you read the list. It's eliminating all the conflict of interest here so that the most important thing always remains your wishes. And in some states, you have to have it notarized, but California is not one of those. All right. What do you do? What do you do when you've got all this work done and you've signed the thing? You make copies of it and you give it to everybody. Everybody, your doctor, your other healthcare providers, your agent, and then don't put this completed form in a lockbox somewhere. Needs to be, you know, depending on your health, maybe it needs to be on your refrigerator door. It's a good place. Yeah. If you're really... You know, I mean, if you're already really ill, you might want it on your bedside, but you want it somewhere the emergency personnel are going to find it easily, right? Okay. And then there's a wallet card that you can cut out, and you can put that in your wallet and indicate where your 5 wishes form is. If you ever change your wishes, you can do that, but you got to make sure you... If you change your wishes, what you need to do is complete a new form. But then you need to make sure that you get rid of all the old forms, right? And you give your doctor and all those people the new form, right? Okay. All right. You can potentially. I mean, if it's just a little change, you can change it on here. You could. Yes. If you're just saying, you can change whatever you want. In fact, we recommend that you revisit this every year. Okay? I knew one person who had a notebook, and this was a person who had been near death, have been hospitalized for an extensive time. And he essentially did it on the anniversary of the accident he was in. He and his family discussed the wishes. And that was a family process that they had. So you ought to be reviewing this regularly. Because like I said, our perspectives change, right? All right, now, just briefly. Yes, go. I'm listening. No, you can attach paper to this. In other words, I don't remember where it says it, but you can attach an additional document to this. That's part of your five wishes that specifically explains how you interpret that statement or what you want, okay? Anything that you want to clarify or provide more detail on, so you can cross it out, because you don't want it, but if you want some form of it and you're not sure what that means, type it. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. My husband would cross that out. He does not like oil, greasiness, anything on his body. He does not like that. That would not be a comfort to him. Even if he had dementia, I know that I would be mistreating him to do that to him, okay? So what I'm saying is, don't make any assumptions in general. Just, if you're not sure about what it means, but you would like some form of massage, you can attach a document that has more specifics. So just attach a piece of paper to this. There may be other items on here. Just like I said, write down what your favorite music is. There's not a spot to do that. But you can attach an additional sheet of paper and put more specifics, okay? All right. Let's not belabor that. Massage. So quickly now, do not resuscitate form. What you have to understand is this is not, this is not a do not resuscitate form, okay? It's an advanced health care directive and a living will. This California DNR form is a pre-hospitalization DNR. In other words, if you need emergency medical treatment and you are not in a hospital, you are at home, you are on the golf course, and you do not want to be resuscitated. Right now, I'm 63. I could fill one of these out and indicate that I do not want to be resuscitated, okay? And this is really for the emergency medical personnel, okay? Now, it's different from a POLTS form, which I'm going to tell you about in a second, okay? So it tells the EMS what to do if your heart stops beating, and really what it does is it prevents CPR, okay? And it doesn't affect, like, for example, if you needed some kind of nutrition or artificial nutrition, I mean, it's not going to affect any of those things. It's just about CPR. I do not want to be resuscitated. And this is pre-hospital. So guess what? If you don't want to be resuscitated, the hospital is going to make you fill out another one. This doesn't go with you, okay? All right. So that's what that looks like. Pastor already gave you the form for, or the information for how to get the medallion. Physician orders for life-sustaining treatment. So that's that bright pink sheet, or you have a white one too, okay? Now, this is signed by the doctor, it's signed by you or your decision maker, and it is a medical order, okay? This is for if you are seriously ill, your doctor anticipates that you're going to pass away within a year's time. So this is about current treatment. Remember how I said this is about future treatment, okay? This is if I become disabled in the future. This is if I am really sick. What do I want my immediate care to be, all right? Two different purposes. It's been a while. I don't recall the exact year. It's probably been at least 2010 or so.
Okay.
So, okay. This form, anybody can use it, age 18 to whenever. Anybody can use this. This is for when you're closer to death. One of the differences between these two forms, this one doesn't go with you. It's good for emergency personnel, but it doesn't work in the hospital. They'll make you fill out a new form. This form goes with you. It goes with you to every place you receive care, your doctor's office, the hospital, the assisted living, the nursing home, wherever you receive care, one form travels all with you. California is working on a registry where they're going to be able to look my name up and see if I have one of these. All right? All right.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes. This form?
Yes. Even though you're in the hospital and you're out of it, and you've given this authority for people to not resuscitate you, if you wake up and you're lucid, you can still cancel it.
Yes. Anytime. You can. And you know what? Your decision maker, but they would have to do it within your wishes, of course, can also change this. So let's go through what you're specifying in this form. So I just went through the basics. I just went through the basics of what the difference is between these three documents. Advanced Healthcare Directive, like the five wishes, the DNR, and the POLST. All right? Now, so let's look at this form, pink one or white one. Section A, this is again the year before your death or so, DNR. This does include a DNR as well, all right? Section 2, how much medical treatment do you want? It's divided into three categories, full treatment. Do whatever you can to keep me alive. Now, you can also opt to have a trial of full treatment. So if the doctor feels that full treatment has some chance of benefiting you and you want that to be tried, you can indicate that. Okay, selective treatment is the goal of treating medical conditions while avoiding burdensome measures, okay? So you're going to get comfort care, plus you're going to get things as listed on the form, including antibiotics, IV antibiotics, IV fluids, but they won't intubate you, so they're not going to use more extreme measures, okay? So selective treatment. And then you can also, under this category, request transfer to hospital only if comfort needs cannot be met in current location, all right? So you could get this potentially at home. Comfort-focused treatment, all you want is comfort, okay? Right? All you want is comfort. Just make sure that I'm not in pain and suffering, all right? Everybody with me? Full treatment, do anything. Selective treatment, you know, manage my health care conditions. Okay. but don't use more extreme measures. Comfort treatment, I want comfort care only. Next section is, do you want tube feeding or not? Okay?
I want what?
Tube feeding.
Oh, yeah.
You can also indicate again, it could be a trial. So you could indicate that if my doctor thinks it might be beneficial, I would want to try them. Or you could just say, no, I don't want tube feeding. All right? Then down at the bottom is all the signatures. Now, if you are totally rational and lucid as the patient, you would sign it. If you are not, if you have, for example, Alzheimer's disease, and aren't able to be cognitively intact, your decision maker can sign this for you, okay? So the decision maker can sign this. He can execute one of these if you are incapacitated cognitively and you're nearing the end of your life. This can be signed by the physician. It can also be signed by a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. So those are the medical professionals that have to sign it. Once it is signed, it is a physician order, okay? It is a physician order at that point in time.
He doesn't have to
write it on the order sheet also. Nope. This is a physician order. This goes with you everywhere that you go. Let me put it this way. He should not have to write a separate order sheet. This is a physician order. Okay. Then again, same thing as the other documents. Doesn't do you any good if you're the only one that has it. Goes on the refrigerator, and to everybody that's involved in helping you with your care and supporting you, okay? Might even be a good idea for your pastor to have one of these, okay? Who's an important advocate. Might be who is an important advocate for you as well and is supporting your family. Why are you laughing at that?
I've seen some people's refrigerators. There's no room.
You're going to take some of those magnets down. You
have to get rid of some stuff.
I have about a third of my refrigerator door filled with those travel magnets to different places I've been. I know, I'm okay. And again, review this thing. Because if, say, for example, your doctor and you have the conversation, maybe you have cancer, and he says, you know, I think you have about a year to live. You fill one of these out. Maybe you start getting treatment and things are going better than you thought, and maybe you want to change something on here. Or maybe you're getting treatment and things aren't going as well as you want. You might want to change something on here, okay? So review it, discuss it. All right, the benefits. So just a couple of studies about the benefits. This is kind of an interesting study. They looked at 113 studies. It was a big review. They all those studies, all 113 studies, looked at the effectiveness of advanced care planning. Most of them were done in the U.S., about half in hospitals, 32% in nursing homes. And they looked at, were DNR orders and advanced directives, meaning like the five wishes or some version of that, were they effective? And look at this. I know while it's not a guarantee, my friend over here, advanced care planning did decrease the use of life-sustaining treatment when people wanted that. It did increase the use of hospice and palliative care. It prevented hospitalization. You want to stay at home. A lot of you want to stay at home. Prevented unnecessary hospitalization and increased compliance with patients' end-of-life wishes. So it does make a difference. Here's another little study. This was 56 cognitively normal older adults who were in the hospital. They were 80 or over, and they died over 6 months. 86% of the 29 who participated in advanced care planning had their wishes known and followed. as compared to only 30% of the other 27, okay? So that's a difference. That's a significant difference. And also, as you said, it's a gift to your family members who were less stressed, anxious, and depressed. Yes?
When I was in the hospital, they asked me if I had an advanced health care directive, and I said, yes. Where is it? I said, it's at my home in a file cabinet. My wife knows where it is. I said, okay.
Interesting.
They let it go like that. They didn't say, I want it over here today or tomorrow. They just let it go like that. They probably made a note to contact my wife.
Yeah, and if you were able to communicate your choices at that point when you were in the hospital, they probably had the information that they needed in terms of whatever your care was for at the time. And satisfaction was higher for the patients and the families. So let me see. These are just some resources, more resources for you. And I did want to make you aware. You know, children and adolescents also face death in an untimely way, and it's really great that there are versions of this process to use with children and adolescents who are facing unexpected death to really talk with them through what their wishes are. Okay? So those are good resources as well. So I just want to wrap it up with this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, from St. Paul, right? You know, I just think it's so ironic. You know, we have to kind of challenge ourselves and say, you know, it's a little bit ironic that as people of Christian faith, we say, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, that death takes us to a better place. That's what we believe in the Christian faith. And yet, we're such death deniers, and we're so unwilling to get ready for death. So there's a little irony there, right? Let's embrace the fact that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. All right? Okay, that's it for tonight. I hope it's been helpful. Before you go, you're going to get an evaluation form, because you know what? In order for us to do this, and maybe you can help get those out. In order for us to keep doing this from Hoag, I got to tell them how it went. So let me know how it went. And I really take your feedback very seriously, too, in terms of improving what we're doing. So, all right, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. Sure. So again, thank you everyone for being here tonight. We have one more session next Wednesday. And so if you will please bring everything back next week, because then we can answer any questions about any of the duplications or the resources, and hopefully answer all your questions as we also talk about some of the legal and financial things that you need to take care of. So once you fill out the form, you can leave it on the table, and we'll come around and collect it. And thank you again for being here tonight.